Hello and welcome to Life and Happiness Coaching Radio. Today we'll be talking about realizing that childhood trauma is real and affects the way you adult and parent. The big lie, the idea that our society and childhood upbringing do not influence who we are today at the deepest level. If we take the time to reflect on how much of what we do and think did not originate as our own idea, and let go of things that do not serve us, we are free to embrace beliefs and life choices that genuinely resonate with who we truly are and the life that we want to live. We need to reflect on our influences so we are able to peel away layers of inauthentic belief systems and roles that do not serve us. Changing these roles may be challenging because even if they hold us back from our true self, they provide a sense of comfort. This is important to keep in mind because to break a pattern, we have to be able to remember the bigger picture of why we want to change it. By having a strong enough reason to change and being able to imagine a life that is true to our purpose, we start creating a different reality that will grow and blossom with time. These are the types of childhood trauma. Physical abuse. Someone who has authority over you uses it to injure you physically. Physical neglect. When our caregivers fail to give us the physical resources we need to survive, like food, clothing, and a place to live. Emotional abuse. When someone intentionally causes injury to our dignity or emotional integrity. Sexual abuse. This is the most damaging and most common. 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 20 boys will be victims of childhood sexual abuse. Loss of a caregiver. Losing a parent or a caregiver is hard to understand and makes us vulnerable in ways we do not always realize. Emotional neglect. If your caregiver fails to give you the nurturing and connection you need to thrive. Natural disasters. Fires, floods, and hurricanes. Trauma doesn't discriminate. It can happen to anyone at any time, but it's especially damaging when it's occurring during our childhood. Symptoms of childhood traumas are depression, disassociation, anxiety, aggression and anger issues, denial and confusion, racing heartbeat, lack of focus, muscle tension, fatigue and lack of energy, sleep problems, mysterious aches and pains. So there's no one size fits all solution for coming back from trauma, but there are solid techniques that can help you create the space you need to get better. Distance yourself from toxic people. Learn self-regulation and stress-reducing techniques like yoga, meditation, mindful breathing. Seek out support. Get more sleep. Tighten up on your diet. Focus on a healthy balance of nutrients that give your brain the fuel it needs to get past the pain. Allow yourself to get close to people. Nothing melts shame faster than allowing the fully weight of your heart to be seen by another person. Realize you're safe now. Find a trauma specialist. Find an experienced medical specialist. Get honest about how you're surviving. Allow yourself to recognize all the ways you have attempted to keep yourself safe and be brutally honest in recognizing all the coping mechanisms you've built up over the years. Cultivating acceptance. Explore your self-knowledge. Accept your emotions and where you are right now in this moment. If you are feeling sad or low or in pain, take a step back and get to the root of those problems and where they come from. Sit in a quiet space and allow yourself to be physically in your body, in the present, no matter how painful that might be. Spend a few moments alone with your trauma each day and get to know him or her and the person he or she made out of you. See things for what they really are. We invest so much time and energy into seeing things as we want them to be that we lose touch the reality of how they actually are. Don't confuse acceptance with preference. Just because you accept something does not mean you prefer it or even support it. It's important to be clear within yourself that you're not endorsing something by accepting it. You're simply saying, this happened, let's move on. So I'm going to discuss my childhood and how I realized that my childhood has a lot of things that I do now, the way I am now, and that was a hard thing to realize. So we're going to start from, I want to say the age of nine. The age of nine, this was around April because I remember Easter. I was told by my father that my brother's mother was not my biological mother. I have a biological mother. Now, for a nine-year-old, that's quite like, so I was like, okay, so now I guess she reached out to him and, you know, said she wanted to meet me. It literally feels like a Lifetime movie or something of that sort. So I go meet this person, and to me, I don't look nothing like her. She's like nothing like her, like no features or anything. And so she's a stranger to me. So then I don't know how it went as far as me spending weekends with her, but the adults agreed on that. So I was spending weekends with her, and she's like, oh, you're not calling me mom. I'm like, lady, I don't even know you. Like, that's something that you earned. Just because I supposedly came out of you, don't give you the right to be called mom. Because where were you for the last 9 years of my life? So I would spend weekends with her, and then in May I turned 10, and then June she passed away. And it's like, okay, I knew my biological mom for all of, I want to say, 2 months. So any questions I really had, I couldn't ask, I couldn't get answers because I didn't know this person well enough to have these type of conversations. So at the age of 10 years old, I'm a lost child, pretty much. I'm confused. I'm not sure of my lineage, my background. I'm not sure what is real or not at this point in life. So my brother's mother at the time, I guess she developed in her own head that me going to see my biological mother was going to mess up, I guess, the relationship we had, or she was telling me things to mess up that relationship. So she had developed in her head all these conversations that were being had that wasn't had, and pretty much she took that out on me. So she felt like I was distancing myself, and at the age of 10, I don't even know what distancing yourself even is. So I felt like I was isolated. I was cast out because of something I had no control over. So that relationship and that bond and all that you're supposed to have from your mother, that kind of disappeared. As I grew up, things were just different. Things were always different. It was like, oh, okay, I can't deal with you, so you need to go live with your father where he is. And then from there, it's like, okay, you need to go live back that way. So I was going back and forth. I was in, I want to say, 2 elementary schools, 2 junior high schools. I was going to high school in the Bronx, and I was living in Brooklyn. So I didn't have any type of stability. I didn't have any type of everything. It was a lot of dysfunction. It was a lot of things that were not okay as I look back and realize, you know, what's the job of a parent, a caretaker, a provider. And I feel like I didn't really have that, I don't even know what you call it, but I didn't have that. I really didn't have that. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, this is my version of the story, and there's always another version of the story, but my version is my version. This is the version I know, I remember, I see. Not to say that there weren't good times, but a lot of the bad times to me outweighed the good times, and those bad times is what made me who I am and, you know, the type of parent and the type of woman, the mother and everything I am today is because of those bad times. So as I got older, I don't remember. It was in 2006 when my father passed, and I was pretty much, you want to say, an orphan.
My daughter was turning three. I'm trying to figure it out. We were in an apartment, but because of the type of program he was in, we couldn't stay in the apartment, but they didn't know how to kind of get us out. So eventually they got us out and I had to figure it out. So I was, I think I roommate with someone for some time and I wound up in a shelter for some time. And I did everything that I needed to do as far as being in the shelter, trying to find a place. But it's hard because we don't want people who are in the shelter in their apartment. So I went through a lot of different things in that time frame where I was pretty much on my own. And it was interesting. It was strengthening. It helped to strengthen who I was. And then as I come to the current in the way people are like, oh, you're so extra with your children and everything, I am because I didn't have that. I'm always doing stuff with them because I didn't have that. I tried to make sure that me and my daughter have a bond because I didn't have that. So I don't never want none of my children to look back and say, well, my mom wasn't there, or, you know, she treated me wrong, she neglected me, or any of those things, because I fight with myself daily to make sure that I'm that parent that I didn't have growing up. And then the way, you know, just the way I, you know, with friendships and everything, because a lot of that stuff, say, okay, when you realize you have that wasn't around, like I was abandoned. Okay, so then when I cultivate friendships and stuff like that, I take them very seriously because I don't never want to feel that abandonment at all, because I give so much of myself, and to for somebody to take what I give and then kind of disappear, or, you know, fade away, is like, what did I do wrong? And then it always takes me back to, why did my mother abandon me? Is there something wrong with me that I can't keep people around? So I questioned myself, I beat myself up, and then I realized I had to go to therapy because I started getting bad anxiety attacks because I worry about a lot of stuff. Things that the normal person wouldn't worry about, I'm worrying about. I'm making myself sick over. I realized I suffer from depression, from things that I didn't heal from childhood. And there's still things that I'm trying to deal with, trying to work through, trying to figure out as I go from day to day. And this is one of the main reasons why I decided I wanted to be a life coach, because I didn't have no one there to help me through those times or to tell me that there's going to be a better day or that these are the steps to take to make to be truly happy and to truly live in your purpose and live your truth. So I want to be that person for other people, because it's hard when you feel like you're alone and you don't have no one rooting for you and you don't have support that you believe that you should have from the people around you. So I want to be that person for someone else, get to their next step or to find out who they really are. Then I feel like job well done, because all that I didn't know growing up, learning to be a wife and learning to be a proper mother and tend to a household and all of that, all of those things I learned on my own, and I had to fail, and I had to go through it trial and error to get to where I can say I'm happy. I'm comfortable. My children are good and healthy, and I'm healthy, and I'm working on me inside and out, mind, body, and soul, and just trying to help somebody else figure out those same things is just like that means so much to me, because our childhood really messes us up. It messes up the way we think, the way we do things. We dare to leave our children around people because, you know, somebody could have been molested or anything. So then it's just all those things play a big factor in how we maneuver through our day to day, why we choose specific careers, why we, you know, have the friends we have, why we in the toxic relationships that we are in. It all stems from where we come from. So if you watch your parent get abused, then you're gonna get to that fork in the road. It's like, I'm gonna be abused like this person, or I'm gonna be a fighter and I'm gonna get out this situation. Everybody has a fork in the road where you decide. Because you have two choices. Either you're going to repeat the same things that you saw growing up, or you decide, I didn't like that, and I'm going to do something different. I know what that different is, but I'm going to figure it out as I go on. When I moved in with my now husband, my mother-in-law said to me, she was like, you know, this is your place. This is, you know, pretty much their rules. And however you want to set up your home is how you set up your home. And that kind of, that resonated with me on how I move forward. Because it's like, okay, how am I supposed to keep a house? How am I supposed to, you know, what are meals? What am I supposed to do? How to, am I supposed to do it how I saw it done? Am I? So then I had to figure out on my own, like, okay, so I'm in charge, you know, husband goes out to work, so the home front is my area, so okay, what am I going to do? What are the meals going to look like? What is discipline going to look like? What are all these things going to look like for me? So then we have to step back because people think, okay, I got a parent, how my parent parented, but some of our parents wasn't even parented. So then you ask yourself, how can you parent if your parent wasn't parented? Like, how can you go forth? So it's like, how can somebody parent who wasn't parented? It's a good question. So then we find ourselves in a cycle that we repeat over and over again. So I decided to be the end of that cycle, to change that cycle, to be different for my children, because I can see firsthand how toxic and dysfunction and all that can mess up a person. Now, I'm not saying that my kids are going to be perfect going forward, because they also meet their fork in the road. I can be like this, or I can be worse, or whatever the case may be. They still get to make their own choice, but I know that I gave them a good role model. I gave them good examples. I gave them a solid foundation. Well, not me alone, me and my husband. We together gave them this solid foundation that, and, you know, as less dysfunction as possible, because there's going to be some dysfunction. There's going to be, you know, parents arguing or disagreeing, not saying that my household is perfect, but it's not what I was used to. So, and children need to see that adults, you know, they got to disagree, and we're not going to always agree on everything, and you're not, you know, you have to have your own mind, you have to stand up for yourself, and I allow my children to speak how they feel. Some people feel that, you know, oh my God, children should be seen and not heard. Why? Because then you have children that grow up who are afraid to speak up when it matters, when you get to authorities and you get to people speaking over you and all that, then they don't know how to stand up for themselves because you never show them that you don't have to be disrespectful. You can be respectful and speak your opinion and speak your opinion, but you have to know it's a way to do it. And so that my children are very outspoken on things that they don't like, things that they do like. And that makes me okay, because when they go out into the world, no one is just going to, I want to say, screw them over or tell them anything, because they're going to question it. Say, okay, well, such and so told me to do that, and I'm going to do it. No, because I didn't teach them to just, you know, that's what it is. So the way I do holidays, the way I do birthdays, all of these things, everything is over the top because of the way I grew up. So then that's something my husband deals with. It's like, okay, how long is this going to last? Like, everything got to go back to, well, I didn't have this as a child, or I didn't do this as a child. But that's where everything really comes from, is the lack of certain things from my childhood. And pretty much, yes, it's not all bad, all the things I do, but then there's certain things that are, you know, I guess things that some people are like, well, that's, you're doing too much with that. Just like as of lately, I'm trying to think what brought it on. I'm trying to figure out what situation brought it on. But the whole feeling of not having a mom, or not having that relationship with a mom, or whatever, people are like, oh, you have this person, you have this person. Well, these people live pretty much their own life. They have their own situation. They have their own children. And I feel like I don't have that person that I bond with. Like, if I'm going through, I need to talk to a mom or somebody that's over me. I don't have that. And that was making me really sad and depressed for quite some time. So I have a neighbor upstairs, Ms. Harris. Hey, Ms. Harris, you're going to be my mom. And she's like, I am too old. Did not push you out. I'm not your mom. I'm like, Miss Harris, stop fighting it. This is what it is. You're going to be my mom, and this is what we're going to do. So I pretty much forced someone to be my mom, to have somebody to talk to and go to and be able to go to. And even though she was like, you know, but she's taking on that role, and she'll, they be like, she don't annoy you. I'm like, no, she'll come down 50 million times. hey, can you do this? Or can you do that? Or can you come up? I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that because I want that. I need that. I want to be able to say, okay, like this mom figure person, I can help. You know, you would do for your mom as they got older and stuff. You'd be like, oh, you know, mom is old and she's doing this or that. Oh, you need anything from out there? I'll just make up something because it makes her happy to do something. You know, I need me some cucumbers. No, and homeboy, I ain't gonna eat no cucumbers right now. But she'll go get my cucumbers, or she like, this is a squash. Cut it in half. You give me half, and make sure you cook it. Don't let it go bad. These are the things that a mom says, and that you want to hear from time to time, or somebody that cares about you and your well-being. And Sakina is another one. Even though I don't say, oh, she's my mom, you know, she's not that old, but she's another person who's just so caring. What was it? When I thought I was dying, I had the fever. She sent me over the soup. She made sure I had the medicine. And anytime she'd check on me, if my status don't look right, she'd, hey girl, what's going on? How's it going? Whatever. And I can talk to her, and we can talk and stuff like that. So these people, like these are the things that I'm missing. Now we call, what was it, Grandma Carol? Grandma Carol be on the go, but you know, when I need her, I can call her and she's there. So I did, don't take nothing from her, but you know, she work MCA, so MCA, you know, they be slaves to MCA. She's like, how much you gonna need? Because I can give you that. How can I fix it with money? Because I can do that. I can cash app you quick, or whatever the case may be. But if I said, you know what, I just need to spend time with you, she would make her way to the Bronx quick, fast. Sometimes she do it. She be like, what you doing today? And the next thing you know, she done popped up. So I have these people, and you know, I had with my daughter. She was like, mom, you have certain people around you, or whatever the case may be. Even my mother-in-law, when she's in the midst, that's mom right there. Hey, girl, what you doing? And she's like, oh, that's my worker right there. She ain't got no color in her. She's like, that's my worker. Like, she ain't got no color in her. But that all she'll do. If I call her 8 o'clock, she jump up. What you need? What's going on? Who's hurt? And she'll be there at the drop of a dime. So I do have these womanly figures around me, but it took the healing for me to actually see these people and realize these people are around me, as opposed to just soaking and saying, you know, I don't have a mom, which my daughter thought that was funny, that, oh, you don't have a mom, like who says that? But that's how I felt. I felt at this time in my life, some people think, oh, the older you get, the less you need, you know, your parents. No, I feel like the older you get, the more you need them. It's because you're going through a lot of things in your life, with your children and marriage and spouses and different things, and you need that person that is going to be like, it's okay, it's going to be okay. And that, just having that to me is just everything. It's so warming to my heart to have that thing with the mom and being that for my child, or whatever case may be. And we don't know, you know, she's supposed to be going to college. We don't know how she's going to survive in the world, because she can't find me, and is she calling everybody down the line? Because even Nefertiti was like, where's your child going? Because she couldn't reach you. She done videoed me, where's my mom? Like, she's dying. So, but I like that, you know, that we have that bond that, you know, you're looking for. The boys, not so much. They like, yeah, we'll survive. But her, she be done dying if she can't video me, or she couldn't find me for however time frame. So, you know, some of y'all know how to do the comments, some of y'all don't know how to do comments, but if you know how to comment, I have a few questions. Are you a survivor of childhood trauma, or do you know someone who is, that you deal with on a day-to-day basis? If so, give me your experience, or if you don't want to do it in a public platform, you can also hit me up and we can talk about it. What are some of your coping mechanisms? Because, you know, some of us realize that we've gone through childhood trauma, and your coping mechanism can probably help me or help someone else. How has childhood trauma affected the way you are dealt or caring? I told you how it affects me. I would like to hear how it affects you. You probably didn't know it affects you, so now you got to go back and think and figure it out. But when you figure it out, let me know. So please comment.